Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo. Chris Aceto. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Watch out, throw!
This is 8-time Mr. Olympia Lee Haney, and you're listening to RxMuscle.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name is Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by Chris, the technician, Aceto. It is one day after Christmas 2011. It is December 26th. And Chris, I am still recovering from my postprandial blood sugar rise after this crazy, crazy Christmas dinner I had of tons of pasta and lots of carbs.
Well, you heat up, you should, because when you increase your carbs, you should, go into a thermogenesis state. Well, T3 should increase, norepinephrine rises, and you temporarily burn more calories.
I'm sitting, when I do my radio show in my little studio I have in my house, to the left of me is a mirrored closet, and I'm looking at my reflection, and I'm looking very carved up. My pecs are really striated. My delts are really round. I look like I'm ready to get on stage. I think the carbs did me well. I think I had been carb depleted for a long time, and I'm super, super, my skin is really stretched tight. I'm ready to go pose down against Aaron Singerman.
You get exhausted after you eat or not?
Did I what?
You get exhausted after you eat. It just brings you up and brings you down a big meal.
To be honest with you, I actually took a little nap before I recorded this show because I was getting that really low blood sugar. It's funny how people say, on Thanksgiving that they get that that low from eating turkey and the serotonin. That used to be black.
I got serotonin. Serotonin makes you tired. Definitely a precursor to that, make you tired. And I used to always say, it's all the freaking carbs you eat. You just get that insulin spike.
Of course it is.
Blood sugar
drop. Which facilitates serotonin, ability to cross the blood-brain the brain barrier and make its way into, making you feel. Carbs facilitate the delivery of serotonin regardless. And they make your blood sugar go up and down.
I made fun of Blackman irresponsibly because he always says tryptophan, but it's actually the serotonin. Yeah, the serotonin does it. But.
So you weren't factually correct.
Yes.
But tryptophan, in fact, when tryptophan levels rise, they in turn cause serotonin levels.
But I really believe it's the blood sugar plunge after that huge meal. You get that huge insulin spike, blood sugar drops, and then you get tired. I mean, that's really what I think does it.
Yeah.
Personally.
No, I agree with you. It's the carbs make you feel exhausted.
Yeah, but think about it. How much protein do you eat during the day? I eat a lot of protein, protein in small meals during the day, and I don't get tired from it because I can eat turkey. It doesn't matter, turkey, chicken, whatever. But when I eat a lot of carbs, I feel great while I'm eating them, and then afterwards I get that crash,
Where did it come from? The whole turkey idea?
Who the heck knows? I don't know.
Talk about something that has a lot of shelf life.
Well, yeah, you talk about it, especially considering when you eat turkey, a turkey dinner, usually you eat about 400 grams at least of carbs with all the stuffing and sweet potatoes and sugary stuff that goes along with the accoutrements that go along with the meal, and then you have dessert. Of course you're going to get that. But I will tell you, after my meal, which I had an authentic Italian meal that Nola cooked, and I had meatballs and turkey sausages, and I actually cooked up some chicken cutlets, Chris, that I'm going to rave a little bit about them. They were phenomenal.
I want to hear about it. I'm going to talk to you
in a second. I want to also just give plugs. Nola made her own sauce, which was delicious. My dad, who's an authentic Italian critic, was completely gushing over how good the food was.
Oh, really?
But I will tell you, I have created a new chicken cutlets recipe, if you may. What I do is, I'm going to tell you how I made them. I bought the thinly sliced chicken breast from the supermarket. I don't buy the thick ones. I don't want to cut them. I don't want to slice them. These were already pre-made or pre-sliced in the right, to the right thinness. Although my dad did tell me on the car ride back that I could have pounded them out a little bit more. I said, well, Dad, I got to be honest with you. I didn't pound them at all. But he said, that's the real way you're supposed to do it. You got to pound them to thin them out, make them thinner. Just in case you want to know, Chris, if you got to get a mallet.
No, that's what they do with the brujol. I know. That tenderizes it more when you pound it.
Yes. But what I did is I took...
I got a little Italian blood in me.
I know you do. You got a lot of Italian. You might have more Italian blood than I do.
Well, I have... You know, I got 100% of the temper at times.
Which
bad judging to see my Italian temper flare.
Yeah, I never see you angry, though. I've never seen you really get worked up. I guess you say this your family.
I can't because my parents... My mother's Irish. My father's Italian. They fought like cats and dogs. And still do to this day. Like crazy.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I used to say when I was a kid, when I grew up, I'm just, there's no way I'm going to be like that. But the chicken recipe.
As you would say, my dad would say, the buck stops here. You said that.
Yeah.
My dad said the same thing. I said to myself, am I going to be like my dad and be a critic and critical and put people down? And he said, the buck stops here. So anyway, I had this... These chicken cutlets, I said I'm going to make, because I was afraid. My old Jewish grandmother and me came out. Actually, my old Italian grandmother too. They were always afraid they're not going to feed you enough food. So I said, I don't know. We got the meatballs and we got the turkey sausages and spaghetti, but a linguine rather. But I don't know about the. We don't have enough food, so I decided to make the chicken cutlets, and I took these chicken, you know, raw chicken thinly sliced, and I dipped them in omega-3 eggs, which I whipped up a couple of omega-3 eggs and, you know, mm-hmm. mixed them all together. Then I dipped that into the Italian breadcrumbs that I got from Jimmy Pelleccia.
Yep.
And I put them on a plate, and then I took a pan and I put macadamia nut oil, my own species brand of macadamia nut oil, because mm-hmm. it has a very high smoke point. You can fry with it, but it's a monounsaturated fat, very good for you, and the heat will not destroy it. Most people who make chicken cutlets will use, like, you know, corn oils or sunflower oils or, you know, the poly oils that, you know, the cooking oils they like to be called.
Yeah, low smoke point, so the fats go rancid.
Well, no, those, yeah, but that too, but, you know, the cooking oils, you know, are pretty, you know, commonly used because they're cheap, and that's just by convention what most people use. The problem is that they do go bad, but they also are pro-inflammatory fats, so they're not good for your heart. Whereas the mac oil is very good for your heart. So I put a little in the pan, and I fried them up in the mac oil, put them on a paper towel, just patted some of the extra dry, and they came out delicious. So if you guys want to try that recipe, I highly recommend it. It's pretty easy.
We gotta get you on video doing it, because people like when you cook on video.
I should have taped it. You're right. I forgot. I completely forgot.
You know, you gotta tape it. People love that stuff.
Yeah.
I do, too. I like watching you on video. It's on the cooking segments.
People seem to like cooking.
We gotta get you on Iron Chef.
I would love to have two in some place. We have to find like someone to donate some kitchen space for us. And I would like to have some cook-offs. You know, like, you know, when people come into town, like when you come into town for the SMART training course, January 15th and 16th, we could have you on a segment, you know, where you cook off against Aaron, because Aaron will be in town.
Oh, it'd be a blast. He wouldn't even know how to preheat the oven.
But if the dish that you had to make was matzo ball soup, you would be in trouble.
No, that's right. I just you know what? What I would do is I'd cheat. I would look over my, watch him, follow him, and then as he gets, you know, sidetracked towards the end, I would just, you know.
Gotcha.
I would end like Sugar Ray Leonard, like quickly towards the end.
Just don't get
in a flurry and just like make it look like I knew what I was doing the whole time.
That's right. So anyway,
that's what Sugar Ray used to do.
Yeah, and he always wanted, just he was like window dressing, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly it. At the end, he just, you know, he'd do a lot of combinations of last 30, 40 seconds in a round, and the judges would buy it.
That's what Sean Ray does too, right?
Yeah, with everything.
Yeah, pretty much. So I ate like a pig. We had a great meal. My dad got drunk. He was good in the beginning. He was telling some good stories. Everyone was very entertained. I gotta get him on video telling some of these stories, because some of them are really good.
Maybe he got overconfident. You know, the stories were so good, he probably thought, you know what, if I drink, I can even, you know, embellish a little
bit
on him.
That's exactly what he was doing.
He went over the edge a little bit.
He was telling us about how he lived in the army, and he lived with the... They used to have the segregated... I think I told you, the barracks was segregated. And the second floor was the black soldiers, and the first floor was the white soldiers. And my father had a big mouth. He had just graduated from Columbia Teachers College. And so people thought that... I guess he thought that he was a big shot. And he had gotten drafted in the army after... Imagine that, after getting your master's degree, you get drafted into the army.
Unbelievable. What year was
that? I don't know. It must have been in the 60s. And he missed the Korean War, so he was lucky because he was in school and he had a very high average.
Okay,
so
got it.
So he got drafted. He was a wise ass, and he had a big mouth, I guess. He didn't like taking orders from people. My dad's not good at taking orders or any kind of directions from anyone, for that matter. So they stuck him with the black soldiers, and everyone thought he was black. And I guess he was arguing with one of the white soldiers who thought he was black, too, and they were arguing about the pronunciation of a word. The word was panoply. I don't know if you've ever heard of the word. It's like an array of things. Flags or a panoply of books. And they thought it was pronounced panoply or panoply or something like that. And my dad knew better because my dad was an English major. He had gone to Columbia Teachers College.
Yeah.
And so they had a huge bet. And he got all the black soldiers to back him because he had no money. He was poor. And he won this huge bet. And he was right. So... It was a good story. So I thought everything was going well. Everyone was laughing. My dad was having a good time. And then he went over the edge. He had that extra drink that pushed him over the line. And then he said to me, he leaned over and he said to me, "Who's that girl?" I don't know. He goes, "Is this girl dating anyone in your group?" I'm like, "What girl?" Now the only girl in the whole house was Nola. He's like, "Her." I said, "Dad, are you out of your fucking mind? She's dating me." That's when I knew he had to go home. That's when I knew it was time to take him home. And he didn't want to leave. Goodness. Usually my dad can't wait to get it. I had to actually tell him, okay, it's time to leave, and I had to kick him out.
Well, it's a holiday, so he wanted to be out.
I couldn't believe it. He was in prime form.
Nothing's on TV, probably. You know what I mean?
Couldn't get him out of my house. I stopped listening to him because he was asking annoying questions, like he was asking Jeff about, you know... What was he at? Actually, Jeff's in the room. What was my dad asking you about? Remember when I stopped talking to him at that point? He was asking about monetizing the radio show or something like that.
He was getting very in-depth about everything.
He was asking questions that he really had no interest in, but he was asking them anyway, and I knew that it was going to explain what he was actually asking us to explain the answer properly to him required so much work that I knew it was irrelevant, really.
Okay, now, David, okay, I want to explain this to me. When you make money on the show and you put the money in your pocket, somebody's funding it. Now, who's funding it?
That's pretty much what my dad was saying, yeah.
Just answer the fucking question. Who's funding it? Someone's got to make money here.
What is it, a conspiracy or something? Did he think it's a conspiracy or he didn't know what he was...
I don't know what he was... He was asking too many questions.
Chris, there was one point where, you know, I clearly saw that the night was over and like, you know, Dave wanted to wrap it up, and he literally wanted to get into the nuts and bolts of how everything operates at RX.
He was asking me questions about Scott Connolly, which was you know, like the most complicated question. I didn't know how to answer them, and I was getting fatigued.
Now, actually, explain to me again, who is this fucking Connolly? Who is he?
Why? Because Dave is the translator for Connolly, and he's maybe
right.
And you were having trouble translating the question.
The thing that confused him was the fact that I had told him that I worked for this guy in the 90s at Metrix. That completely confused him.
There's the confusion. And now, so now he's doing this thing with RX. So
we started eating, Chris, about, I'd say, what time about, Jeff? 6:30 maybe?
About 6:30. Yeah.
Right, we start eating at 6:30. My dad tells us he's not that hungry, and that he's already apologizing for the fact that he's not going to eat everything, and that he'll have to take it home, and it's not a big deal. But you know, he doesn't have an appetite anymore. I said, "Dad, you always have a good appetite." He's like, "Last year I was 20 pounds heavier." I don't know what he was talking about, but by the time I wanted to kick him out of the house, and it was, what was it, about 10, 9:30?
Yeah.
He had not stopped eating from 6:30 to 9:30. He was continuously eating. He was eating at a very slow rate and pace, which is what he always does, but he did not stop for one second. His shirt was covered with crumbs, and he continuously was eating, starting with the salad, the tomatoes and the mozzarella cheese. Then he went to the chicken cutlets. Then he had his... Then he wasn't going to eat any pasta. Remember, Jeff?
Then
he wasn't going to eat the meatballs.
Have one stomach, David. What do you expect? But you can give me some of that right there.
Did not stop. So he completely filled
himself.
Maybe
he's trying to put the 20 pounds that he thought he lost back on in one night.
Yeah. Then he told Jeffy, he was complimenting you a lot. Jeffy told you how great you looked and that, that you were very big.
To which Dave shot down immediately just to my youth instead of having knowledge. So.
Anyway, so yeah, we had a good time.
It was great. You kidding me? It was like a feast. I loved it, man.
I got to tell you, I've been relaxing a lot, you know, these past couple days, watching a lot of episodes of Lost and trying to regenerate a little bit because there was some burnout. There was a little burnout there. I was sensing the last week or so, and you know, this was cool. Christmas was mellow. I didn't have to travel this year. We got New Year's coming up next week.
It's, you know, the winding down of it all. I mean, you had a busy year. Look, how busy was your year, Dave, this year? I think they're not, you know, when I think of your travel schedule, I think you should get a free plane, not frequent flyer miles.
I'm not even like a preferred Delta flyer yet, because for some reason the last two years I wasn't putting in my frequent flyer mile. I didn't know I even had one, you know. So I should be like I forget, they have like a preferred or pyramid, I don't know, one of these special, you know, members where it lets you cut the lines. I don't have that status, but Aaron does. Did you know that, Jeff? Aaron is like a silver, like on Continental, like he has like a preferred status.
Well, how the hell did that happen? isn't RX Muscle the one paying for those trips?
Yeah, but the person gets the status.
Oh, I see.
Matter.
Oh, so his name is on the actual itinerary, right, so therefore he gets the miles.
I get the credit on the money I spent, but he gets the miles on Continental, and he's like a little cheese ball. He makes sure he always puts his numbers in. He always makes sure we fly him Continental. So he's smart in that sense.
So he's essentially, you know, stealing miles from you that he could be using for trips.
No, because he doesn't.
No, I mean he could be saving you money. Like if you wanted to send him to the Olympia next year, I don't
put him on Continental if it's more expensive. Believe me, but he cries. He always wants me to try to. The good thing is that where he lives, there is a lot of Continental flights out.
I wouldn't mind flying Delta, but me and Derry will have to make sure that we get the flyer miles so that we can go on a vacation next year.
Actually, the truth is that when he was flying out of Houston, Continental was there a lot. But now that he's not in Houston and he's in Tampa, he's going to have to make like 14 connections. I remember Flex Wheeler was like that when I worked at MD. He always wanted to fly a specific airline, and they never had a direct flight. So he was always taking like three connections to get the freaking fly miles. And he would always miss, you know, because when you take that many connections, there's a good chance that your connecting flight or that something gets canceled. So he was always missing showing up late and never being at the show. And Blake used to be pissed off as hell at him because of that.
He didn't put his numbers in.
He got the numbers. He got the miles, though.
Come on.
Do you have any frequent flyer miles, Chris?
Yeah, I have Continental and US Air, but I try to, you know, charge everything I possibly can on my Continental credit card so that I can, you know, get some miles out of it. But, you know, it's a lot of times when you get the miles, you know, it's supposed to be $25,000 for a round-trip flight, but half the time everything's blacked out or, you know, you end up spending a lot more miles than $25,000 to get a round trip.
Right. Well,
so it's kind of like, you know, it's not a gimmick, but it's, you know, I mean, you end up spending like 50,000 miles these days trying to get a round trip.
Yeah, I mean, the flight situation is terrible. I told you already what my idea was. I would have an airline where there would be no cancellation fees, no change fees. You can change names. I'd have the most flexible airline of all time because I don't know what these stupid rules are just generated to make more money. But I don't know. What do I know?
Well, changing names is one of the biggest ripoffs. That's just a little horseshit.
Yeah, there's no reason why if I can't make any flight, if you want to take my place, you shouldn't be able to do it.
That's just the ridiculous
thing. Back in the good old days before the 9/11 incident occurred there, you could do whatever you wanted. I remember.
I know. I used to put clay in my sneakers and everything.
Used to be able to take cocaine on the plane with you and everything, you know, and never have a problem. Matter of fact, Victor Martinez probably wouldn't be in jail right now if it was back in the 80s.
He wouldn't, you know. You're 100% right there. You know, if it wasn't for, 9/11, he'd probably be, you know, just be nothing because that's, you know, just everything, all the rules beyond strict these days.
Remember the movie Blow when they were, like, handing off the cocaine and money bags right in the airport there, you know?
Yeah. Now you can't even hand off Pepsi's that have been cleared.
You can't give a water to anyone, you know?
No. You probably can't get Jack's water on the plane. It's probably too potent.
No, you can't take any water on the plane, for that matter. I guess someone's got to make... I think it was Stephen Wright who made the joke, I have a new product, powdered water. I don't know what to add, though. I knew what to add to powdered water to make it water.
That's funny.
I was watching George Carlin the other day on, you must be a big George Carlin fan.
I loved him. I loved George Carlin.
I figured as much, man. He was,
ahead of his time.
He was, his probably best shtick was when he was giving a speech to a bunch of congressmen, and he was just hammering them. He was basically saying, you guys are a bunch of shits. But, you know, and he was aggressive. And they were laughing at themselves because he was just so funny. But it was just, you know, what was funny, of course, about it, like everything he says is because, you know, there's so much truth to what he says.
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually saw one of his last performances he ever gave at the Stardust Hotel, which is no longer standing at the in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was his last stand-up act that he did. And I think I saw him a week before they actually did they taped the HBO special. And you could tell... You could tell he was getting a little old, but his stuff was still really funny. I mean, he wrote all his own material, which a lot of people don't know. That's the hardest
that's
part.
Right. You
know?
That's right.
And I don't know how he remember. I don't know how he remembered all that stuff. He had a lot of dialogue in his jokes. You know.
Yeah, lots of dialogue in his jokes because it's, you know what I mean. He sees the absurdity in just simple things. So it's, you know what I mean. He probably can't remember his best friend's telephone number, but he can remember, you know, the details and absurdity of everyday, you know, things that people go through.
There's not many comedians like him. Actually, I was listening to Howard Stern today where they were doing the best of all the Saturday Night Live interviews that all the people he's interviewed from Saturday Night Live. And Joe Piscopo was talking about Larry David. Now, Larry David is the guy who wrote Seinfeld, all the Seinfeld episodes he created, and he also does Curb Your Enthusiasm. You know I like him. He's got the real sticky humor. And he said that when they would see Larry David would write for Saturday Night Live, they never would put any of his skits on. And then they would go to see him at the Improv in Manhattan. All these guys would perform, and people wouldn't laugh. He'd be arguing with the audience. You know, they'd be like heckling him. He'd be screaming at them. And these guys and Piscopo said, I'd be sitting back and saying, this guy is freaking brilliant with the stuff he's coming up with. I can't believe why more people don't get him. Obviously, Larry David got the last laugh because he made a fortune with Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm. But it just goes to show you, you know, sometimes the smartest comedians aren't always appreciated initially, you know.
It's also delivery, though, too. You know, it's like Larry David has an insane mind. But, you know, I think that he had to find the right people to let it out. You know, I actually enjoy Seinfeld more than Curb Your Enthusiasm. I got to be honest.
Well, he wrote because you like the characters on Seinfeld.
I love them.
He wrote the characters.
Right.
George
exactly.
is him, basically.
Right. But like George wouldn't have worked if he tried to play George.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think he needed those characters to convey.
He's a goofy looking guy.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah,
problem.
Yeah.
But, look, I think that the 2000, you know, getting back to this year in the review here and the end of the year show, because I feel like we just did the first of the year show. I can't believe it feels like the Arnold is coming up for 2000, getting ready for 2012 already. And the Arnold list came out. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But, you know, I'm thinking back over this year, Chris, and, you know, this is probably our 51st show we've done this year. Actually, it might be the 52nd show. I don't think we missed one freaking weekend the whole year.
Nope, didn't miss one.
And it's amazing how much material we cover. And I don't know if anyone even gives a shit about half the stuff we talk about. But, you know, bodybuilding is more than just getting on, you know, getting on stage and posing. It's everything that goes along with it. The cooking, the training, the supplements, the politics of what's going on, who did well, who got screwed,
you name it.
You know, making your own music DVDs like Jay Cutler did. All that shtick goes along with it. And
started with that shit.
I got Michael Popkin, my good friend, and I have to give him credit, sent me a whole list of categories. You know, we usually do the top 10 stories or the top 12 stories of the year. I'm not going to do that this year. Michael Popkin wrote out all these categories. I don't even know how many there are. There might be like 12 or 15 of them, best of awards and best of, and we're gonna go through that, and we're gonna talk about these awards and figure out why the people we're gonna pick deserve it, and in doing so, we're gonna get a little bit of a review of the year that will come along with that. Before we do that, I want to talk about the Arnold Classic list that just came out, but we're gonna take a quick commercial break. When we come back, We're going to find out who's going to the Arnold, who wasn't invited, and who should have been invited. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com, the newest and hottest supplement super site. We carry all the major brands, including Species, MHP, BPI, BSN, Optimal Nutrition, Gaspari, and many more. Low on cash? No problem. ExtremeFitNutrition.com offers competitive prices that our competitors can't beat. Now you can supplement your diet without having to supplement your bank account. Here's some of our specials. Buy $100 worth of Species products or Metabolic Nutrition and get a free t-shirt and bag. Buy $200 worth of BSN products and receive a BSN t-shirt and shaker bottle. Check out ExtremeFitNutrition.com for more great deals. Visit us at the 2011 Olympia Expo. Stop by booth number 322 and meet IFBB pros Bethany Wagner, Guy Cisternino, Tiana Gonzalez, and Gina Trociano. Remember, there's only one Extreme. Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com now.
What's up, everyone? This is Dave Palumbo with RxMuscle.com. First things first, thanks for supporting our site. And speaking of support, we couldn't do what we do without the support of our advertisers. So I feel it's very important at this time to ask you to support our advertisers by purchasing their great products and by clicking on their banner ads right on this very page. I also want to point out the great deal that my friends over at SciFit Nutrition are offering. Buy one, get one free for their new pre-workout formula, Dark Energy. Now, let me tell you something about Dark Energy. Number one, it comes in six great flavors. And from what I hear from my friend Ian Lauer, the editor-in-chief of RX Muscle's sister site, mensphysique.com, his workouts are literally in the stratosphere. This is a guy who's got so much energy in the gym, and I never knew where it came from. SciFit's new Dark Energy. Buy one, get one free. Click on that banner ad on the right side of the screen and support the people who support us.
Are you tired all day, not making the gains you like? Are you taking a long time to recuperate from your workouts? Then you may be suffering from sleep apnea and not even know it. Sleep apnea affects over 68% of athletes, and it may be interfering with your performance. WinningEdgeSleep.com was developed by IFBB pro athlete Dr. Derlin Castro to help athletes find out if they have this problem and how to fix it. WinningEdgeSleep.com, because sleep is the most anabolic agent there is. WinningEdgeSleep.com. Visit them today.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to tadthedietcoach.com. An expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to tadthedietcoach.com or send an email to info@tadthedietcoach.com. P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 bread. RX Muscle approved.
Isolate and grow with the Isolator. The Isolator is a unique device that allows you to target muscle groups like never before. Ever wanted to get that perfect contraction right at the belly of the muscle to stimulate new growth? The Isolator can do just that. Can't seem to bring up your chest or back? The Isolator will help you get those new muscle gains. The Isolator is hands-free, so your grip isn't affected. That means if you have any nagging injuries, such as joint or rotator cuff pain, or problems with your grip, then the Isolator will have you back in the gym today. The Isolator Isolator follows your natural range of motion without being locked into a machine or at the mercy of those old school hand grips and rigid pull down bars. That means you can still do bench presses, pull downs, rows, flies, and whatever other movement you normally do, but with greater stimulation and a lot less stress on your joints. To find out more about the Isolator, visit isolatorfitness.com. Check out the videos and see the Isolator in action. Isolate and grow with the Isolator. Visit isolatorfitness.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo here on the line with Chris, the technician, Aceto, and Jeff, the producer, sitting in on the show here. And guys, the Arnold Sports Festival, that's the new name they're giving it. It used to be called the Arnold Classic when it first started. Then it went to the Arnold Fitness Weekend, and it had a couple other incarnations. But now that it's gotten so big and it's encompassed so many different sports, they call it the Arnold Sports Festival. It's actually probably the biggest sports festival in the world, I think. It's way bigger than the Olympics now. And the competitor list came out. Now, you know, the Arnold is in 8 weeks, guys. And, you know, I don't know. As a bodybuilder,
Is it 10?
I thought it was 8.
Go ahead, I don't know.
Who knows?
I didn't really know. I thought it was 10.
You guys are the fucking experts. I'm here once every 6 years. So.
It might be 9 weeks. But
okay.
The point is that usually bodybuilders like to diet for 12 to 16 weeks for this thing.
Yeah.
For their shows. And, you know, to not get the competitor list out quicker than this, it's kind of handicapping some of these guys. Some of these guys have to start dieting. They don't even know if they're going to be in the show.
Yeah.
The advantage to that is that luckily now there is that Flex Pro show 2 weeks prior to the Arnold that guys can jump in, I guess, if they don't get invited to the Arnold. And I guess the news of the day really is that Branch Warren is going to defend his title. 1 year, you know, later, the guy tore his quadricep in preparation for the Olympia, didn't he? I don't know how the hell this guy think his leg's going to be better by then. I've never seen a quadricep repair and, you know, I guess rehab take that little time. That's usually a very severe comeback. Even Victor couldn't do that.
Well, that's what's going to be exciting about the show, you know what I mean? Because that's what people are going to want to know right away is, okay, how bad is the tear? And, you know, did it have a negative impact on your prep?
I don't know. I haven't...
Being the defending... being the defending champion. If he was third or fourth last year, then people wouldn't, you know, really give a crap. I mean, it would, but it wouldn't be as big as a deal.
Well, Branch Warren came back from a torn tricep in, like, 3 months or 4 months and competed. So, you know, this guy has got an amazing recovery rate, from injury. And I don't know if it's just his body's responsiveness to it. The fact that he's just... he puts so much mental focus on recovering that he wills it almost to get better.
He has a special Branch Warren healing factor that kicks in. How did he tear his quad?
If the stories have been varied, no one ever tells the truth. I you know, who the hell knows? I heard he slipped on some ice or something like that, or slipped in the rain. Doesn't really matter how he tore it. The question is that when you reattach a quadricep, you know, that's not like a small arm muscle or anything like that. I can't, you know, everyone's saying, well, Branch has great legs and everything like that. It's not going to matter. But the bottom line is that I don't think it's as much the leg size as it is the discrepancy from one leg to the next.
Right.
Will his legs, but then again, Jay Cutler doesn't have any balance from leg to leg. And
for years, Jay Cutler had that problem and no one ever pointed it out until recently. But, you know, again, you know, you make a point. How is that healing going to, you know, going to take place? How's it going to manifest itself in terms of, you know, muscle loss and the balance? So
what do you think, Chris, in your technician expertise?
I think I don't think it's going to affect him negatively because it's, unless it's just like a major tear, like in the middle. But I mean, nobody really knows the degree of damage.
The tear was repaired, Chris. So ostensibly, it should be fine. It's a matter of whether he was able to, you know, regain the size properly, whether the insertion of the muscle looks normal again.
And, you know,
well, those his questions. Legs, you know what, if his legs are down by 25% smaller, he's still going to be the biggest in the show.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's your prediction.
Quads, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's assuming that they're both going to look exactly the same after he, you know, gets back on stage. I think
I don't even think that's his problem. I think his problem after the last year's show was the conditioning.
Right, frankly. I agree. I bet he comes in super condition here because he's going to realize.
He comes in peeled.
Yeah, because he's going to realize,
you know,
that
he got a lot of flack. As good as he was last year, he got a lot of flack in both shows that he won that, and the show in Europe thereafter where, you know, where he's been harder. You know, he's been different years a lot harder than he was this year. And the irony is, this is the best he ever did, you know, winning-wise.
Right. Well, I'm going to read you the list of who's in the show, and then I'm going to get both your impressions on who impresses you in this list and who do you think might win it. And I already have I've already made my decision in my head, and I'm going to tell you why. All right, Fuad Abiad. Who's making a comeback, and we're going to have him on the show a little later, actually, to talk about, you know, why he decided to make a comeback. Lionel Baigi, Matthias Balthoff, who won the Arnold Amateur last year. Evan Santapani, who won the Flex Pro Show, was fourth here at the Arnold last year. Eduardo Correa, your guy. Brandon Curry, Dexter Jackson, who obviously is smelling the money because he just won that Masters Pro World Championships, and he realizes obviously that he smells wounded animals in the woods, so to speak. Michael Kafalianos, Ben Pakulski, Sean Roden, who you and I were talking about a little earlier, Chris, Ben White, Branch Warren, of course, and Dennis Wolf, who had a pretty good year last year as well. Who impresses you, Chris? Who do you think will win this Arnold Classic?
If I had to pick one, I would go with Evan.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And I would go with Evan because I don't know Evan, but he strikes me as somebody who does his own thing and not caught up listening to heavy muscle radio or going on the boards and hearing that his tan is not good or he needs, you know.
He better listen to that criticism because.
You know what I mean? So, you know, that's one. And two, he's proven that every time he competes, he's better. And three, he didn't burn himself. You know, I mean, he's had a good rest from last year's show all the way to this year's show, which. You know, if he's used that time wisely, then I think it's to his advantage, more so than probably anyone else.
Jeff, the producer?
A guy who's going to win the show?
Yeah.
I would love to say Evan, but I don't know. I think Dexter's going to probably crank it up now because I think that, you know, like you're saying, he smells the wounded animal. I think that he's going to just do his best to bring in his top shape there. I mean, you know, the only obviously Evan pops into my mind right away, and so does Dennis Wolf. But you know, I'm going to have to go with Dexter Jackson just to kind of hedge my bets a little bit.
Well, I'm going to say one thing. First of all, by us counting out Branch Warren, that's like the most dangerous thing you could possibly do, because whenever Branch Warren is counted out, he always comes back better or winds up coming in to his show and everyone else is a little off and he winds up winning.
You didn't hear what I said. Dexter smells the wounded animal. He's going to cut Branch's leg off and carry it on stage and show everyone that he's going to beat him.
Now, having said that, I'm not going to pick Branch Warren, and my pick is Evan Santapani. I'm going to totally agree with the technician on this one. I think that he could have won the Arnold last year had his color been a little better, because he was probably the best conditioned, biggest athlete up there.
He was the whitest guy, for sure.
Yeah.
He was a ghost.
And I think this year, the lineup is weaker, to be honest with you. Even though there's some names in there, I think that, you know, Wolf has structural problems. Branch is going to have that. I have to, you know, root against, you know, it's like betting on a football game. When the quarterback's injured, you know, you can't really go with that team to win. So I'm going to say Branch is not going to beat his best. Dexter. Evan has proven that he could beat Dexter. He beat him last year at the Flex Show, although Dexter wasn't at his best.
That's right.
That show, but he still did beat him. So I think it's Evan Santapani show to lose. I really do, and I'm glad that Gustavo's getting back in the lineup. He's always a dangerous guy. I wonder what he'll look like. We're going to talk to him, like I said, in a little bit later to see exactly the mindset of what's going on with him and how he feels he'll look. But it's an exciting show. Are you surprised, Chris, that Kai Greene did not apply to the Arnold?
Yeah, I am. Solely because there's a lot of money on the line. You know, I mean, one, there's money on the line. Two, there's money on the line. And three, you know, there's prestige and momentum going into the Olympia. Because Kai's the type of guy I mean, put it this way. If Kyle was in the show, you and I would be talking about Kyle over Evan for sure.
Right, definitely.
You know, all three of us would be talking about Kai. And if Kai nailed it for the Arnold, we would be saying, uh-oh, he's got a lot of competition.
Hmm.
So strategically, if there's some such thing as strategy in bodybuilding, you know, had he come in and decided to do the show and be, you know, at his best or close to his best, whatever that means, you know, it would have been a big deal for him. Plus, he they give out a lot of money.
Yeah. You know, another one that surprises me is that Tony Freeman, the X-Man, did apply for the Arnold and did not get accepted. And what do you think about that, Chris? I mean, that's almost unbelievable after placing that, you know, he won a pro show this year. This past year, he placed second at that Masters show behind Dexter, looking fantastic. Are you shocked that Tony is not in this lineup?
I am shocked because I thought you were just going to say that. I thought you were just going to allude to him because he's not on the list, and I thought you were going to say it was a mistake that Tony didn't do the show, and I was just going to agree with you and say, yeah, you're right. You made a mistake by not doing the show.
Well, let me ask both of you guys a question because I'm not even going to touch this one. So let's say that Tony Freeman was put into this lineup. Who in this lineup would have to be removed in order to have Tony in there?
Oh, because the lowest placing guy of who didn't place good last year.
Jeff's basically asking us who in our opinion is the worst guy in the lineup is what he's asking.
That's exactly right. Come on, guys, this is no bull. This is no bullshit.
Ben Light is the weakest guy in the lineup. There you go.
You know what? This is what I would do. I'm going to take flack for this, but this is what I would do. I'd yank one of these bikini girls out, and I would put the guy to it.
You see?
Because you asked the question, Jeff, and the problem is that Tony's a great bodybuilder. And so, you know, if I'm Tony Freeman, it's very easy for me to think like the other guy. If I'm Tony, I'm out of my mind today, thinking, what do you mean I'm not in the show?
That's right.
And then you go like this, I can beat this guy, I can beat this guy, I can beat this guy, or I have beaten this guy. And then you got to say, you know,
he's beaten everyone.
Yeah, of course he is.
Maybe Dexter he hasn't beaten, but he's beaten pretty much everyone else in this lineup. So
yeah,
I pull out Jeff. You want to know? And he's a very good friend of mine. I pull Ben White out of this mm-hmm. lineup mm-hmm.
because, that's like I said, so there's two of us.
Yeah, I pull Ben White out. But mm-hmm. Aaron is going to be doing a little profile with the selection with one of the people at the Arnold who does involve with the selection process on Access Bodybuilding.
He'll ask the probing question.
Oh, I have three very important questions to ask this guy, and I'm glad you used the word probe because that's actually one of my questions. The first one will be, what will you be doing in the year 2013? After the Arnold Classic ends this year, will you rename it to the Arnold Classic Sports Festival Combo Expo Finanza Extravaganza? And three, how do you feel when you get an anal probe? Those are my questions.
Well, I'm excited, guys, because I aside from the little nuances that we kind of took off the table there with some of the people that were missing, I think it's going to be a great show. You got the full Arnold Classic, the Ms. International, which is the women's bodybuilding. Iris Kyle will be defending her title.
And Iris Kyle will win?
Yeah, well, I hope she does.
I'm just trying to sound intelligent. That's
true. Well, you did, Jeff. You're a very intelligent man and a very good-looking man,
thank you. Dave, you too.
Oh, that was what Steve Blackman asked me to ask you. The Fitness International will be defended by Adela Garcia, who has got a lock on that thing for many years at this point. And Nicole Wilkins will be at the Figure International defending her Olympia title there. And the Bikini International will be defended once again by Nicole Negroni, who I think is 20 years old now, Jeff.
Wow.
I think she's out of her teens now, so she's legal.
Thank God.
And
well, she was legal technically at 18, so that's fine.
That's true. I'm like I said, I'm looking forward to the show, and we're going to do a lot more updates and previews, and as the gossip fills up and comes in, we'll have a lot more to talk about. It is 66 days. It says right on the Arnold website, Chris, 66 days, 7 hours, 32 minutes till the Arnold Sports Festival 2012 begins. I will have my Species Nutrition booth there. RX Muscle will be there in full force, and all is good in the world, Chris.
Yeah, still a lot of time. There's 66 days. What do you think, Dave? I mean, that's a lot of time. I wonder what everyone looks like right now.
We're gonna find out. We're gonna little by little chip away. I'm more interested to see what Gustavo Bedell looks like.
Yeah, me too. That's kind of
you've worked with him before in the past, Chris, haven't you?
Yes, I have worked with him when he was second to the Dream. I mean, to the Heath, to the gift.
To the gift.
To Phil Heath at the Christmas
gift.
Iron Man.
The Christmas gift, yeah.
That was a good...
It's a good showing for him.
Yeah, yeah, no, he looked killer, but he looked, you know, crazy killer at that show.
What do you think, has he contacted you at all? Do you know anything about his prep this year? Are you involved?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, he told me he's doing the show, so I talk to him here and there.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, I think he's going to find out that he was surprised that he got the invite, you know, because it was just, one of these things he throws, you know, why not?
Well, I think they did it because of just add the name to the lineup. You know, people want to see where he is. You know, can he make a comeback? I think it's an exciting story. That's what I heard is they're looking for more human interest stories in the competitors that are going to be selected, more so than maybe how they finished in pro show rankings in 2011. So
that explains why guys, this basically explains why Ben White's in the lineup.
What was his story?
Remember he builds a fire pit in order to cook his food.
Oh, yes. He hunts squirrels in his backyard.
I mean, you know, the guy is very poor, but, like, you know, he manages to like, survive. He catches fish with his mouth.
That's right.
And he dives in the ocean and pulls them out with
like,
his mouth.
Like Gollum.
Right. And he actually, you know, he picks
Did
corn.
Did I see this
right?
on Walt Disney today?
You told me. You said you watched the whole bio on Walt Disney.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to mirror my life after him. I'm going to open up RX Muscle Land.
I was going to say, had he been in bodybuilding, he would have started a website just like yours.
I think of it this way, Chris. I think that the path of my life is going to be that, you know, now that I started this business, I have to win the lottery. I have to win like $100 million. And then we'll open up RX Muscle Land. Like Dolly, you know how they have Dolly World?
Yeah, yeah, Dolly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dolly Parton's little amusement park. We'll have a theme park, and then we could shoot all our TV stuff there. I'll have to put it someplace where you have a condo so that you can come down a lot and hang out there. Your wife will let you come down with the kids, you know.
You'll have to have a ride with Jimmy the Bull. You have to have a ride named after him.
every person, all the members of RX Muscle will have a ride named after them, and I'll have a big. There'll be a big mouth. You'll just see my mouth open, and people will the roller coaster go right through my mouth. Anyway, all right. Let's get to the exciting part of the show. We have our 2011 bodyboards. Cool. That have been written out by Michael Popkin, my kindergarten friend, who is an avid listener of the show. I'm giving you your credit, Mike. I don't want to hear any bullshit from you. I don't want to hear any emails or anything like that. You've gotten your full credit. And this is his list. And I liked his list. I thought it was a good one. So we're going to go with this. And we will start with the first award, which is the most obvious. Who, guys, is the bodybuilder of the year? Both male and female. Now, when I say bodybuilder, I mean physique athlete of the year. It can go, you know, we can talk about fitness, figure, it doesn't matter, okay?
Phil Heath,
yeah.
Easily, Phil Heath.
I think that you have to give it to Phil Heath. He defeated the reigning Mr. Olympia, which doesn't happen very often, unseating four-time Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler. He not only won BJ in Las Vegas at the Mr. Olympia contest, a week later at the Sharu Classic, in Mumbai, India. He defended that title and he won again. So Phil Heath has got to be the 2011 Bodybuilder of the Year. We are unanimous on that one. Who is the Female Athlete of the Year, though, Chris?
Female Athlete of the Year. Maybe the Negroni. That's close.
Negroni? Well, Nicole Negroni did win the Miss Bikini International, and then she won the Miss Bikini Olympia at a very young age of, I believe, 19 years old.
It's pretty impressive.
But is that the athlete of the year? What about Iris Kyle, who defended the Olympia? What did she win, her seventh Miss Olympia?
Yeah, well, Adela. How about Adela?
Adela has her sixth Miss Olympia, I believe. And you know, those two have to be considered, I guess, the co. I would think they would be the co.
Yeah, by virtue of the idea that Adela and Iris have won six and seven times. But to me, maybe I'd give the lead to Adela simply because I can't believe... I know bodybuilders have issues with injuries, but but just the routines that Adela does. I can't believe she has not been hurt.
She has been hurt. She was out of, remember, she almost didn't make it back to competition, and she came back and took her year off.
Oh,
when,
that's right. So she was, yeah. Well, okay, then she's been hurt. Then she definitely is the winner.
And Adela is at least 40 years of age. So the fact that she's still doing the world-class fitness routines on stage, winning not just one show a year, but two shows, the Arnold Olympian.
Yeah,
no, the men can't do that. Okay, only Ronnie Coleman was. I think Ronnie Coleman was the only one who did that. One,
yeah,
but
no
lightweight.
Yeah, no, I'd go with Adela.
So Adela's, Adela and Iris both have been doing both of those shows every year, and they've been winning them almost every year, both of them. And I'd have to go with those two. So we have Phil Heath, and we have Adela Garcia and Iris Kyle as our female and male athletes of the year.
Oh, and I'm just gonna go on record and say Adela too, because I miss working with her. So
she misses you too.
I know.
Now, who is the hottest? I know you don't know much about this, Chris, because you're a married guy, but who is the hottest bikini girl of the year? To me, I am going to go with our Muscle Girls Inc. co-host, Diana Dahlgren.
Wow.
Third place at the Olympia this year as the hottest bikini girl of the year. Chris?
Yeah, I'll go with the RX chick.
You like her? You like Diana?
Yeah, no, I do. But that's very close. You know what, and I don't pay super close attention, but I know those two because they are the hottest.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, really, meaning, I think anyone can go to one of these shows and say, I don't know anything about bikini, and they can see those two in the lineup and say, wow, if they're not winners, they're the best looking up there.
Now, going back to what Jeff said, Nicole Negroni might have the best bikini body out there.
Correct.
And I think that's why she won the Olympia and the Ms. International. But I'm talking about, when you talk about hot, when you look at a girl on the beach hot, I think I go with those. I definitely go with Diana Dahlgren. Let's talk about the most improved bodybuilder of the year. Most improved bodybuilder of the year.
Oh, come on, guys. Bill Wilmore. No, I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
That's the biggest comeback.
Oh, sorry.
That's the next category.
Oh, okay.
Most improved bodybuilder of the year. Not of one particular show, but of the year, which would imply that he was better than he was the year before that. I'll put my guess out there first, because Chris might be biased by this. I believe the most improved bodybuilder of the year was a guy who did not win any pro shows that people were counting out. He's over 40. I think he's over 45 years of age. Troy Alves, who you helped, Chris, won two pro shows this year. I believe he could have won a third had he done Tijuana. I think he's the most improved bodybuilder of the year. I mean, he came back bigger this year. He came back harder this year. He did a lot of shows, so he showed endurance this year. I think that he should be commended for a fantastic 2011. And at his age to do that, it's a real testament to his mental fortitude.
Oh, yeah. He'll be thrilled that you picked him, Dave. I mean it. He'll be thrilled that you picked
him. Even though he still owes me dinner. He still owes me dinner because I told him he wouldn't place top 10 at the Olympia.
That's right. But he will be thrilled, and he gets, he lives off that stuff. He'll probably get motivated and come back and try to improve again this year. But I agree with you. Two pro wins, and, he looked killer in Miami a few weeks ago, and he's improving.
Yeah. What do you think, Jeff? Most improved bodybuilder?
Well, I'm going to go with both of you guys because you are the experts. But I've also ran into Troy a few times, this past year. I had the privilege of seeing him and meeting him in person finally after following him for all these years. And I got to agree with you. I mean, I wish I look remotely as good as he does now at that age. But
Jeff, come on. He's an easy guy to imitate, too.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. He's someone that
he's got a deep voice like this. Troy Alves.
No, I'm not. I don't touch that. But, he's a guy that I think has an ideal physique, and he definitely improved. So I'll go with him.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
You're
welcome. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm not going to touch that one until I talk to him a little more.
He's got to work on the voice. Yeah. I can't really do a good imitation until Jeff gets the imitation back. Because then what I imitate Jeff. All right. Biggest comeback of the year, not of the Masters National, not of the Masters Pro Worlds. Biggest comeback of the year. That means that someone started out not doing so well in the beginning of the year and then came back and improved toward the end of the year. And tell us who you think, Chris, and why.
Well, it's going to be Dexter because, he started the year out with the Flex Pro and he wasn't at his best. And then he had the disaster Arnold showing. And then, he came back for the Olympia. And then, he looked definitely better than he was earlier in the year. And then, of course...
Well, he wasn't good at the Olympia. He came back, but he was not good at that Olympia.
Yeah. I know, but you know, so, but he improved from the disaster he was at the Arnold, and then he, you know, improved for Spain, and then he improved for this, you know, this Miami show.
He...
I'd give Victor an honorable mention, though.
Yeah. Close to that. Not too bad, but... I agree with you. Dexter Jackson, second at the Flex Pro Show behind Evan Santapani, a big upset in the bodybuilding world. I don't think anyone except for me and probably Evan thought that was going to happen. I thought Evan was going to take that show, but Dexter was not at his best. So had Dexter been at his best, who knows what would have happened. I believe he finished fifth at the Arnold, which was a great disappointment for him, especially considering that lineup was not strong. People were not conditioned in there. He then went on, I think he took sixth at the Olympia, which was, you know, top six was good, but it wasn't, I think, anything that he was very proud of. Obviously, pulled it all together for that Masters Pro World Championships, winning $100,000. That really looked like the Dexter of old, although he still could have been a little harder. I think that you're right. I think that has to be the comeback bodybuilder of the year, biggest comeback for that matter. And you know what? He's going to probably carry this momentum now going into the Arnold 2012.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, what do you think, Jeff?
Agree.
Okay. Well, you know, it's the funny thing is he told me that he was not going to be competing in 2012 except for the Olympia because he wanted to go watch his daughter play basketball and he needed to take some time off and rest. But, and I told him, I said, Dexter, you love money. I know you do.
And, hey, Dexter, you love money, so I know you're going to be on that stage.
And we were right.
Dexter, you got to get the new Jordans. Did you see the uprise that happened?
He's giving up on Jordans.
Come on.
He told Dave.
Not wasting his money
this
anymore.
This was the biggest retro year of them all. What are you talking about? The Jordan 11 Concourse came out. Dex, you got to grab those, man.
Dex is giving
maybe
up on Jordans.
Well, you know what? Tell you what. If Dexter Jackson wins the Arnold Classic, I'll buy him a pair of Jordan Retros. How's that?
He should buy you a pair of Jordan Retros if he wins the Arnold Classic.
That's all right. I got a bunch already. I'll give one of mine. Yeah.
So, Dexter Jackson, our biggest comeback of the year. Best new nutritional product of the year. Okay? Now, this is a tough one, guys, because... Wow. And I'm going to declare this one. You guys can tell me whether you think I'm right or not. Because there's so many great products that came out this year and are on the market. But I'm going to tell you my favorite best product. Maybe you could tell us yours. Mine is the new Quest protein bars, the natural flavors. They did away with all the artificial sweeteners. They put all natural flavors in them. They still have the same 20 grams of whey isolate, only like 4 or 5 net grams of carbs. The rest of it's fibers. They have about 14, 15 grams of fibrous carbs in them. They have about 5 or 6 or I don't know, I think about 7 grams of fat, all coming from almonds. They taste great. The flavors, they have a Cinnabon flavor that they sent me to my house that I am so addicted to. The bars do not bother your stomach. You could eat 10 of them and they're not going to upset you because of the all natural ingredients. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't think it was possible to make a bar with that composition that actually tasted good. And you know what? They told me that all the companies they went to, the manufacturers told them it couldn't be done either. So they built their own manufacturing facility. And I am... That is my favorite product of the year, Quest protein bars. You know, I'm telling you, I could be saying one of my nutritional products from Species Nutrition is the best product of the year, but I believe the Quest protein bar is the best product of the year.
Well, I haven't tried it, but by virtue of the fact that you're so adamant about it, then I will...
Jeff, you taste them, right?
I've tried every incarnation of the bar from day one. You always gave me a sample of it. And the last time that I tried bars was way back in the old Metrix days. And my favorite was the cookie dough flavor. And I will never forget the old Metrix. And that was your favorite too, Dave. So when you gave me the Quest protein bars, I thought you were handing me one of these BS candy bars because I couldn't believe how good that they tasted. And we were trying to tell people, look, the second that you eat them, you're going to think you're eating a cake. You know, they have this one flavor, the lemon pie. It's unbelievable.
You like lemon pie, yeah.
I don't like lemon pie. I hate it. But when I eat the bar, I like it. So that's one of the few bars that I'll actually eat, especially in the past year. That's actually the only bar that I've brought me to the gym to have.
The new one's even better. These new natural ones that they've gone away with. I don't really mind the artificial sweeteners, but they added stevia to this one, a natural sweetener.
That's great. I love stevia.
Which is more expensive usually, and it tastes really good. They have a strawberry cheesecake one that's really awesome.
See, holding out, man. What's going on?
Come on. I'll front you one a little later on.
That's cool.
So any guys interested in the Quest protein bars, they're questproteinbar.com. You can order them right directly from the site, and they're always fresh. You know, I've never gotten a stale one from them, so guys, check it out. Honorable mention is I have a new chocolate peanut butter isolize out. I don't know if you've tasted it yet, Chris. Probably not. I got to send you a tub, but very delicious too. Give it a shot.
No, send me one and send me two and I'll send one so he doesn't bother you to pick Victor Campo.
Yeah, Victor already has it, got his at the Nationals.
The chocolate peanut butter is your best flavor she ever came out with. It's amazing.
It's a real treat when you're dieting. It's got no carbs. It's got 1 gram of carbs, I think, which is fibrous, and it's got no fat, and it's perfect for contest time. 27 grams of protein per scoop. It's an impressive product, I think.
Oh, and by the way, it doesn't foam up. It's real whey protein isolate, unlike some of those other brands. So,
yeah. All right, let's talk about the next award, which is a new one for the year. Michael Popkin decided that there should be a technician award. The Technician Award, named after Chris Aceto, okay, and it's going to be presented to the best guru trainer of the year.
Wow!
Now, because it is called the Technician Award,
do you have to be 18 to win it?
No, you don't. You could be 12 and up. 12 years of age and up. And it can't be your son. You can't give it to your son or anything like that.
Okay. No. I did the barely legal guru. I think he's the, you know,
Jonathan Kanevsky.
I can't say his last name if I don't dare to say it.
Kanevsky. Yes.
So I'm just going to call him Jonathan K.
He writes for the site now. I gave him his own column.
Yeah, I know he does. Yeah. I know he does. The 16 years old. They love him.
Jonathan Kanevsky, that you're giving the first annual Technician Award to Jonathan Kanevsky.
First annual Technician Award.
So you think that he's surpassing the likes of George Farah,
brother,
Hani Rambod.
Hey, take a little more.
Dave Palumbo.
No, that was old. Aaron Singerman. Oh, sorry,
he's a guru too. Oh, I think Carl Lenore's a guru, isn't he?
I am the biggest technician. I technify everything that I touch. Carl Lenore, hi Chris, you want to do a radio show?
Surpassing the likes of Chris Aceto.
Yeah.
Who else? Who do we leave out? What other guru? Oh, Chad Nichols.
Hold on. I have a phone call.
Yeah, I don't think Jeff doesn't do this. Chad Nichols yet. He hasn't met him yet, so he can't do him.
Well.
Jeff is like a doppelganger. He's got to touch you. He's got to be able to touch you to be able to imitate you. You know. So Jonathan Kanevsky is going to win the Technician Award for 2011. The start of a promising career there, and I want to just congratulate him on that.
That's amazing.
All right, the next category for the best of 2011 is the best heavy muscle radio guest of the year.
Aha.
The best heavy muscle radio guest of the year.
Wow.
I'm going to go to Jeff, the producer, first for his opinion. He'll probably get a better opinion. I have in mind, but I'm going to ask Jeff his opinion on the best heavy muscle guest of the year.
The best. Now, you see, I have to go back in my mind archive. I'm going through it, and I really can't think of the absolute best.
There were so many good ones.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Samir Benue was great.
Yeah, there's a lot of legends on the show.
Townsend's always great on the show. You know, I've looked back at some of the guests we've had.
Tony Atlas was really good.
Who was?
Tony Atlas,
that's right. I forgot about him. He was in the really beginning good. Of the year. Yeah. Lonnie Teeper's always a great guest on the show. You know,
that's a rough one, actually.
Who do you think, Jeff, is was the best interview of the year?
You're put me on the line.
I should have let you look it up.
I'm gonna pass on this one for now. You're gonna have to come back to me on this one.
Chris, the technician,
Aceto. Give us your call.
I think he's gonna be very happy that I picked him. But this is it's honest. I'm not doing it just to kiss his ass. One of the best. I don't know if he is the best because I didn't really go back and listen to all of them. But the one that stuck in my head when I was thinking, who is a good interview?
Big Sean Allen came on our radio show. He would never come on, and he called me up out of the blue. He's like, I'm coming on the show. He didn't even ask me if I wanted him on the show. He told me he was coming on the show, and I said, well, if you want to come on the show, who am I to stop you?
And no one ever going to stop me, Dave. When BSA want to walk in a room, BSA sit down and talk in front of the microphone, and the only motherfucker I'm going to talk to is going to be my boy Chris Aceto and my boy Dave P, because, you know, you always believe in me, baby, even when I wasn't like an NPC competitor, but I ain't no NPC competitor. Pro Card came to BSA this year. Pro Card, baby. And you know, I'm going to take that Pro Card with me to a damn long time. Down the road, I'm going to come back to the show, baby. Anytime you want me to sit down with you, you're my boy. Chris, you're my boy. JTP, go fuck yourself.
Dave, that is the impersonation of the year.
Yeah, Vifey. That's one of his best.
Without a doubt, because I think Sean Allen had the best post win of the year interview with you on video.
Well, he followed it up with an interview too. I don't even. He had like three interviews in a row. He was on the week before the North American. He was on the week after. He had a predictions interview. Yeah. He had a post wrap up. Yeah, but he was angry. He was Drew Jemma.
I was hoping he was going down to Tijuana to kick some ass, because I wanted just to see him do well just for the interview. Yeah. Literally,
Drew Jemma. The poor guy who beat Big Sean Allen at the Masters Nationals came back in for the rematch at the North American Masters, and Sean Allen said, ain't no way in hell Drew Jemmett is beating me. He doesn't have a chance. He's scared. He's running. He was like giving the Muhammad Ali speech. I'm like, what came over Sean? All of a sudden, he had this super exuberance and confidence about himself, and he delivered. He really delivered. Drew came in a little off. Sean brought his best to look to date, and we have a new IFBB pro in the mist, and Sean let all those years of frustration out. And he, you know, it was great. I thought it was such a real interview. Very rarely do you get such truth coming out of someone and about how they feel inside.
Yeah, well, what is his next step?
He says he's
going to compete.
He might be
the rookie of the year award to go for him.
I told him, you know what I told him? I said, never compete again. That's what I told him.
Yeah, I know you said that.
Because I don't think he could outdo what he already did. I'm going to give that the interview of the year. Although I always love the Barbarian Brothers. We had them on.
That was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a fun interview. Obviously, when we had Brandon Curry and his wife, Brandy Lever, on, that was fun. They went talking about how they met. But Greg Kovacs was on a couple times talking about, you know, Nasser or somebody. But to me, Big Sean Allen is the epitome of what an interview should be. If every interview was as good as the Sean Allen interview, I think that we would have, we'd be on Sirius satellite radio, probably.
Network TV.
Exactly. All right, let's go to the most promising amateur of the year. So the most promising, who did the best in the amateurs, who's still an amateur, most promising for the future, Chris Aceto.
The Lavroni lookalike kid.
You got to have to give me more than that.
Jordan. Yeah, Jordan.
Kevin Jordan, junior national overall champion?
Yeah.
Very, very good pick, Chris. Excellent pick.
Because he would have done that good at the Nationals, you know?
He made some tremendous improvements from the year before, came into the Junior Nationals, really dominated. He's got a lot of muscle. His conditioning was good. He is certainly going to be a contender, so to speak, in 2012. I think that we're going to see a pro card out of this kid.
Yeah. No, he's good.
How good is he? Where would you rank him up there on the level of compare him to someone else that we might, you know on the amateur level?
You know, I only saw a few pictures of him, so I really can't say. I really can't. You know what I mean?
Well, and I was at the show.
It's the juniors. I know you were impressed with him at the show, and you told me he looked really good, but it's I've never seen him.
He could be a little tighter. He could, he could put a little more size in that frame. I saw him at the Bros versus Pros, the last one, Last Man Standing we just did in Chicago. And he just was down hanging out for the day because he lives in that area, that part of town. And the guy's enormous. He was huge. So he's definitely put on some size. And I don't know what he's going to do for his first show, but he could probably jump in the USA Championships and do some serious damage.
Yeah.
All right. So are we in agreement, Jeff? Do you have any other ideas?
Of course. I can only agree with the two smartest guys in bodybuilding. What am I going to do?
You've seen the pictures of Kevin Jordan.
Of course. He's a mini. The second that he said the mini Kevin Lavrone, he's the image that I had in my head. The kid's amazing.
When you saw Lavrone back in the day at the, I think it was the 91 Junior Nationals when your guy at the time, may you rest in peace, Paul DeMeo beat Lavrone. Compare Jordan to Lavrone back then.
Apples and oranges, meaning
no cop outs here. Come on.
No. Yeah, I mean that was a LeBron like, leave you speechless.
Okay, so not a contest.
Yeah.
Okay. Compare Jordan to DeMeo. Was DeMeo better?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
So, do you think the Junior Nationals champions of the '90s were better than the Junior National champions of today?
Yeah, and there was a lot more depth in the top 15. I met Mike Francois, the juniors, and he didn't make top 15, so there you go.
Wow. Now, do you think the guys are just skipping the junior nationals
I think a lot of people don't really, I think a lot of people who would do well at the juniors, first, second, or third, or fourth, think, okay, I'm ready for the nationals, and they get, 8th through 13th.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe a good junior national class would have made, plays top, 3 or 4 or 5, something like that.
Big mistake for these guys skipping.
People skip it thinking, I'm too good for it.
They should not skip. You shouldn't skip the Junior USA either. I did that my first national show, and I think it was a nice testing ground, and it wasn't an intimidating atmosphere, and I think more guys should consider doing these junior shows. Let's go to the next category. Mike Popkin loves After Hours Radio, so he wants to know the best After Hours episode of the year.
It's easy. We just spoke about this. It was the episode where Jimmy Pelletier could not control his anger and his rage, and he just went completely nuts. And there was nothing you could do to control him. The guy says what's on his mind. He speaks his mind. And I think he threatened to kill old women. He threatened to kill sick people. Whatever was on his mind, he just let it out. Like he was an insane, crazy, possessed human being. And so that was my favorite, hands down.
My favorite After Hours episode of the year was the episode where we played Jay Cutler's music intro into the world.
Yeah.
Beats by Jay.
Yeah, I just want to make an announcement to the world that it's not a serious project. My CD was a side project. Those assholes at RX and After Hours just have a message that my CD is actually selling quite well. Thank you very much.
I'm convinced that Jay's Beats by Jay CD is selling so well because of the fact that I haven't stopped talking about it.
Talking, Dave. I have 1,000 more units to go.
I know Jay very well, obviously, Chris. You worked with him since he's a teenager for a long time period. Do you think that Jay got talked into doing this because it was a money-making project, or what was this whole thing with? Because Jay doesn't seem like he's like a musician of,
I don't know. What are you going to have him on? You can find it right from the horse's mouth.
Dang, he can't talk this shit. He's under contract still. I'm waiting.
Till when?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I may not be able to talk directly, but go to my Twitter page. You'll see me talking.
Yeah, Aaron talks to him on Twitter. Yeah.
What, do you talk to him on Twitter, Jeff?
I don't know anything about Jeff, but I know that that intern guy really screwed everything up. So he can read what I'm saying, and I have a message for After Hours. Train hard or go home.
There you have it. That's my best After Hours episode of the year. Now, let's talk about the biggest rise and fall in the same year. The biggest rise and fall. So in other words, someone that did tremendously well and then kind of just something terrible happened to them. Okay. Now, technically, that could be Branch Warren, because he won the Arnold and then had that terrible injury. I'm personally thinking about Victor Martinez for that award, because Victor ended the year with a win at the Arnold Europe, won $50,000 for himself. He did rather well at the Olympia too, and he did well in India, and then he wound up never got back to the United States. Well, he did get back, but he's in jail because of some passport or visa issues that we're really not too certain about exactly what it is. Obviously, that's going to keep him out of the Arnold Classic this year. The interesting thing, before you guys can even comment about it, the interesting thing about Victor Martinez being in jail, MD broke a breaking news story that Victor is not doing the Arnold Classic, as if it was like the guy's been in jail for 3 months. You know, like what did they think he was doing? I mean, he's eating bologna sandwiches every day. Did they really think that that was breaking news that he wasn't doing the Arnold?
I don't know. I would have did it if I wasn't holding water.
Chris?
Yeah, no, it's a non-story. I mean, the story is that he's still, you know, he's still wherever he is, you know.
I'm Guatemala now.
You know?
Because, I mean, you really did, I would like to think that you had a lot to do with his recovery, but you helped him at the Olympia for 8 weeks. You helped him at the Arnold Europe show. He looked like he was back, like he was, Victor Martinez was, you know, regained some of his past grandeur. And, I mean, from what I understand is really his own fault. He didn't have a visa, he didn't have a green card. He left the U.S. Anyway. And he wound up in jail. Now he may be deported. I mean, is this the greatest and the worst, Chris, in the year 2011?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it was the greatest and the worst. You know, if none of this had happened, you know, I said in the wrap up at the Olympia last year when we were talking about it, I said, you know, I mean, I did one of my mark my words, which, you know, it's not me, it's Victor. You know, I thought he'd win the Arnold this year. Mm. That was my prediction. And now we're not even, you know, we're not even talking about him, you know, in the top nothing because he's not in the show. So,
breaking news, Victor's not doing the Arnold.
Yeah.
It's exclusive.
Exclusive. You're right. It was the biggest, you know, rise and fall.
Shame. It's kind of sad
tragic,
in a way.
You know? Mm. I mean, it was awful.
The next award is the Iron Bull. Jimmy the Bull, impressive strength feat of the year. Mm. Okay, the most impressive strength feat of the year, named after Jimmy the Iron Bull. I am going to put it right out there. I'm not even going to ask your opinion. I believe Mark Lurch's 37 reps
agreed
at Bros vs. Pros 9, last man standing,
yep,
with 405 pounds in the deadlift, has to be the greatest, most impressive strength feat of the year. In my mind, he won $2,000. That was his second Bros vs. Pros win of the year. Unfortunately, Derek Poundstone was not able to compete against him, but he did break Derek Poundstone's record that Derek had set, I think, the year before that, of 36 reps. For any of you guys who have any idea, who think you're strong, I don't care if you deadlift 1,000 pounds. Take 405 in a bar and go try to deadlift it as many times as you can and see if you can get past 20 reps, much less 37 reps. One of the greatest records, I think, that's existing right now.
I 100% agree with you. I think that...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Chris. I think that that your leg strength plays a role. Your lower back strength plays a role.
Endurance.
Your endurance plays a role. There's so many factors, and the fact that Mark Lurch was willing to put it on the line with Derek is also like another thing that I find admirable. But you know, the guy is a man of few words. He came in and said, "You know what? I'm going to win this money. Thank you very much." He shut everyone's mouth that was doubting him. Everyone, including me, I said, "You know what? Derek's going to take him out," and he really didn't care. He came in and he said, "Here you go, 37 reps, up and down, clean, no problems from the judges. This guy is definitely, you know, deserving of this award."
Well, Dave, I think you should name an award after him. At each Bros versus Pros, or something to signify not only the record, but...
The impressive thing, Chris, is that Derek Poundstone, because he had a little back tweak and couldn't do it, has agreed to pay for Mark Lurch's expenses for him to come to his gym,
whoa,
Derek's new gym, and do the next Bros vs. Pros. I don't know if it'll be 10, Bros vs. Pros 10 or 11, but we're going to have one of the next two at Derek Poundstone's gym, where Derek will compete himself against Mark, as well as he will bring in, there's another guy who wanted to do 50 reps and he kind of, his grip slipped. He'll be there, and we're going to have a couple other big names in there as well, trying to break that 37 rep mark with 405 on the deadlift. That is the Iron Bull impressive strength. The Jubaka Award is the next award, given to the best bodybuilding story, which turned out to be untrue. These are Michael Popkins awards, not mine.
Oh, that's brilliant.
The Jubaka Award. All right. What I would have to say that the best bodybuilding story, which turned out to be untrue, was the Dennis Wolf story that Aaron reported he was not going to be doing the Flex Pro show. It was very well researched.
This guy, he didn't even come to ask me for a question. These fucking cookies, they were confusing. This guy, I never said this. This fucking idiot. This Jew Baga. He's a fucking idiot, this guy.
You said Jew. He didn't say you, Jew.
Jew Baga, he said.
Well, you know, Dennis did wind up doing the Flex Pro show. He only came in fourth place, unfortunately, was not at his best. He did improve for the Arnold after that. But I have to give Aaron a little credit, because I believe that the story that he broke forced the powers that be to talk to Dennis and make sure that he did do the show. And I think that probably Dennis would not have even been in the show if it wasn't for Aaron.
I just want to say, excuse me, Chris. Everything that I put out there is research, can be backed up with all types of emails, screenshots, and various other telephone conversation. I just want to say that they are fact until proven otherwise true. But they are fact at one point.
Yeah. I believe that Aaron had the facts correct on that, but it was a bodybuilding story which turned out to be untrue. So that will be the Jubacher Award of the 2011.
That's horrible.
The Dennis Wolf story.
Michael, how could you?
The funny thing was that these stories, the Jubacher Award, will normally go to Aaron almost every time because, you know.
Right, exactly.
Because they're usually the stories of Broken My Hand that are not true. All right. The next award is called the Angry Bull Award. All right, we had the Iron Bull Award earlier for
the best.
He gets
two awards.
He gets two. Michael Popkin likes Jimmy Pelletier. So the Angry Bull Award is named for Jimmy the Bull and is given to the person who got screwed the most this year. Right? Person who got screwed the most, because Jimmy has been going through some hard times in his life and he's been down on his luck. So the Angry Bull Award goes to the person who was screwed the most this year.
That's good.
Chris and I would discuss this a little before the show because we were trying to figure out who got screwed more. Who do you think?
All right. Who do I think?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's an outright screwing. It's just at a minimum, it's a scratch your head award, which is every show Liberatore does.
True. That's,
I think that Liberatore, well, I wouldn't say, oh, you got screwed. Every show that I see him in, I always think, okay, he looks good here. He looks, you know, better than this guy and this guy and this guy, and he doesn't beat those guys. Right. I mean, I'm not saying that he should win shows or even be, you know, second or whatever, but there's shows that I've seen him in multiple times where I thought, you know, God, I would have had him higher.
Michael Liberatore might be a very good selection on your part because of the fact that he does seem to have problems with placing well at shows. I don't know what the reason is or, you know, why, but you and I are always saying, we don't know what happened to this guy. And it seems like a lot of the press say that. What do you think it is about Liberatore? Let's break his physique down a little bit, Chris. Tell me what you like about it and what you don't like.
Yeah, I like everything except, you know, he can be fuller in the pecs. You know, I mean, that's it. You know, I mean, I think that is essentially, you know, you could use more back thickness, but, I mean, those are two points that he could improve on. But I think if you go through every single bodybuilder up on top five in any pro show almost, that's not an Olympia or an Arnold, you could say, well, this guy needs more that. So, you know, what's the hard part to get over is the fact that he still has really good balance. He's gutless, meaning, you know, he's got a very flat stomach with great abs, and he comes in great condition. He either comes in tremendously great condition or just great condition. So, you know, it's hard to knock him, and he's just, you know, he comes to mind immediately in terms of, you know, at being overlooked.
Yeah, he was fourth at the Orlando show, Orlando Europa show, which we thought he definitely should have been top three there. He was eighth at the Phoenix Pro, which was another head scratcher, as you would say. Especially considering Hide Yamagishi was second, and we don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
The Europa Super Show was fifth, and we thought he should have been a little higher there. So, yeah, you're right. Mike might have been might be deserved of the Angry Bull Award for 2011. All right, let's talk about the next award, or at our last award, actually.
It is the Jumbo Palumbo Award, given to the best amateur bodybuilder who has still not gotten his pro card.
Wow.
This is Mike Popkin's tribute to me. I don't know if it's really a tribute, but the Jumbo Palumbo Award must go to, and I don't think there's anyone's going to argue with this, Keith Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Big Keith Williams, once again, not only didn't place, I mean, he's had a couple seconds this year, but he placed out of the top five, I believe. Didn't he get sixth place or fourth place or something like that?
Keith Williams, absolute sixth freak. Place. My God, every time I see this guy, I'm like, what is going on? So,
do you think he was just burnt out, Chris, by the Nationals? Or was the show that good?
His body was probably, you know, burnt out because, you know, I've seen him better, but he was, I think his body was burnt out.
He was third at the USA. He was third at the USA behind Kuklo and Juan Morel. He was second at the North Americans behind Juan Morel. And then he goes to Nationals. You know, he had the whole Oscar Arden team with him. I think he had like 16 people in his entourage.
And he had a lot of fish.
He ate a lot of fish. Oscar was cooking for him. Aaron was his official videographer. And he winds up no better than sixth place. Big disappointment for Keith Williams. What does he do from here? I mean, the guy was second. In 2010, he was second at the Nationals, second at North American, second at the USA. The year before that, in 2009, he was second at the USA, third at the North American. I mean, this guy has been second an exorbitant amount of times. Six times second. He probably has about six third places. Does he give up or does he continue on, Chris?
No. Warren Buffett bought Bank of America stock of $5 billion worth at $8. It's now worth $5. Point being that even the smartest, brightest people in the world aren't right 100% of the time, and even the guys who absolutely positively can be a professional, some nights don't come in, you know, and that was his night this year where, you know, they're not at their best. And you can't mentally, you know, judge yourself or hold yourself based on a single or even two poor showings. I mean, Dexter Jackson, you know, is a testament to that, and you know, Keith Williams, I think, is the, you know, he just had a bad show. Simple as that. So what do you need to do going forward? You know, focus on winning and not, you know, regretting getting a sixth place at one show.
He just needs to show up again, basically, is what he needs to do. Maybe he should hire the barely legal guru, Jonathan Kanevsky.
Kanevsky,
who seems to be the hottest guy out there.
Award. You know, he did win the technician, first annual technician award.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, he's probably looking for clients, and he's well, you know, we should ask him. You should ask him on this thread, or I'll ask him on the thread. You know, what would you do with Keith if you got a chance to work with Keith? I think I asked him what he would do with Jay if he got a chance to work with Jay.
What did he say?
At the Olympia when I first met him last year.
And what did he say?
I think he said I'd tell him not to worry about his weight and just come in peeled.
I think you should. Jay should have hired him. He probably would have done better at the Olympia. Might have won.
Yeah, he may have. He may have.
Well, you know, we could do awards up the bagazoo. Michael Popkin wanted me to do the best forum member award also, which I would have to say is Kurt James.
He's
our most loyal guy out there.
I agree with you 100%.
But there's there's so many great forum members that I don't want to award anyone.
Nice. You know, Kurt James is, you know, he's like a savant forum member.
The guy is great. He's good.
You know, if he could, I don't know how well he MCs, but he'd give Lonnie Keeper. Because he's an encyclopedia.
Yeah, we should have done MC of the Year Award. Who was the MC of the Year?
Lonnie Teeper.
Sorry, Bob Chickerill, you haven't put in your dues enough, but Lonnie Teeper has to be the MC of the Year, my award, in my book.
He's the MC of the, decade.
I'm sure Sean Ray would give himself the award for the best MC of the Year.
Well, Sean Ray would have named the award himself, and he would have gave it to himself.
With 20K behind it.
Exactly.
That's right. Well, guys, thank you for helping me with the best of 2011 awards here. It was another great year with the RX Muscle crew. All you guys on Heavy Muscle Radio make it possible. And without Jeff behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, Chris, every week, you and I calling in from Malta and all the other crazy countries, Brazil. Chris is a world traveler, you know, Jeff.
I know. This guy's all over the freaking place.
I got my freaking flyer number.
Yeah, what do you fly?
I check in behind Aaron Singerman.
Oh.
Who do you fly?
Continental. Oh, you were asking him. I'm sorry.
Aaron's telling me he has to fly Continental. Chris is like, don't worry, I'll take the bus, you know, if I have to.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I told you. I said, don't worry about it, Dave.
Hey, see, Chris, you're not taking the bus from Maine. He's like, no, I'll take the bus.
I told you, though, the reason in the wintertime when I'm coming down for the seminar is the reason I actually did prefer the bus is because, you know, you get to the airport, there's no snow on the ground, and you leave in Maine, and they say, sorry, the flight is canceled, and right. You freak out. Not as quite crazy as the angry bull, of course, but you freak out, and you say, you know, there's no snow on the ground. How can the flight be canceled? And they say, well, the plane is coming from, you know, Ohio, and it's snowing there, and the plane, you know, so it's just like getting out sometimes in the winter is just too much.
Yeah.
But the buses, they always go.
I hear you. Well, guys, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays to you guys, and enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll be back again next week, I guess.
Happy New Year.
Next week, is it 2012? Is that our first show?
Our first show of 2012 will be next Monday, yeah.
See you next year.
All right, we got to go to commercial break. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. From bikini to bodybuilding, CJ's Elite Custom Competition Suits is where the pros go. Founder and creator Cynthia James, known to the physique world as CJ, has been customizing suits for over 20 years. With a unique combo of style, fit, and bling, CJ is the official suit creator for Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler. And being an IFBB Pro official and NPC judge, CJ knows what it takes to present the perfect package on stage. CJ personally manufactures every suit she creates using only the highest quality Austrian-made Swarovski first-cut crystals for an unmatched stage presence. CJ's Elite Custom Suits, no two designs are ever alike. Check out all of CJ's suits at cynthia-james.com, where you'll also find her latest bikini division suit innovations. CJ's Elite Custom Suits are what the pros wear. Jay Cutler, Tanji Johnson, Ava Cowan, Phil Heath, Dexter Jackson, Trish Warren, and many more all know that CJ's Elite is the only way to go when it comes to top quality and innovative suits that fit every time. What are you waiting for? Visit cynthia-james.com right now and check out the new Men's Physique Division creations as well. CJ's Elite Custom Suits, it's where the pros go. Hydrolyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydrolyze Ultra water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydrolyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydrolyze Ultra today. Visit HydrolyzeUltra.com. That's HydrolyzeUltra.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Cytostane RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
All right, our next guest has been missing from the bodybuilding scene for a number of years. He is placed as high as third at the Mr. Olympia 2 years in a row. He beat Ronnie Coleman in the pose down round, one of the Olympias. That's what he's probably best known for. He's the freaking Rican, Gustavo Bedell. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Hi, everybody, and thanks, Dave, for the opportunity to talk to all my fans all over the world.
You're back. You're back, Gustavo. I didn't know if you'd ever be back, but you are back, and you're going to be doing the Arnold Classic in 10 weeks from today. Talk to me a little bit about where you've been hiding the last 3 years and then why you decided to make a comeback.
Well, you know, I stopped competing because I tried to establish some business. I put in a gym in overseas in Spain, doing business here and there. You know what it is, the economy situation is bad everywhere.
Sure.
So I tried to do something, establish something, you know, for my kids, for my family, and that's why I stopped competing. I never retired. I mean, I always, you know, checking, you know, the contests and environment, just checking, you know. It's not the same, you know, and I was totally 100%, you know, bodybuilder, but I was just training regular, but not competing, but, you know, trying to keep in my lifestyle. And definitely it was just a lot different, you know, when you're doing, you know, bodybuilding 100% every day. When you're not, it's totally different because you have other things to do. And that's why I decided, you know, take time just for me and trying to establish some business and trying to spend a little bit more time with family. And then, but, you know, as a, when you're a bodybuilder, and you always going to be. And, you know, after 2 years, I say, well, I was in the Olympia last year. I was in the Arnold Classic this year. And it's not the same. You don't feel comfortable when you watching those guys on stage and say, you know, my heart, you know, is beating a lot. And so, I need to be there. I need that thing. I mean, it's just like some kind of energy when you're a bodybuilder and you step on stage once, and, you know, in my case, a lot of years. And they said, yeah, okay, no, I need this. I can't watch those guys and just me sitting there relaxed. It's not easy. For me, I said, okay, I need more. It's not just, it's not my time to retire. I need more. And besides, my fans, they're always pushing me. Where are you? Just all the time. And, you know, you can't hide because the fans always want to follow you, always going to remember you. And I said, well, I talked to my family, I talked to, you know, my team, and they said, you know what, I want to do it. And everybody was, what? Everybody was excited about it. And everybody.
That's a good sign.
That's what I love, you know, Dave. And that's what I know to do. I mean, being a bodybuilder for me is just my passion and it's my job at the same time. So I said, you know what, let's do it again. Let's prove that, you know, I can do more for the sport and I can be, you know, the best I can.
Well, you know,
for the next show.
In 2009, you kind of ended on a good note. I mean, you won the Atlantic City Pro Show. So you did the Olympia. You didn't place as well as you would have liked. But, I mean, in essence, you kind of were back. You know, you got your form back that had, you know, placed you so high at some of these other shows. And then you just kind of dropped off the map. And I understand a lot of people don't realize that bodybuilding is an expensive sport. You have a very big family. How many kids do you have now?
I have 4 kids.
I mean, that's expensive. So you're right. You got to concentrate on business. If you can't make money from the sport that you love, then it's a hobby. And for you, this is a business, obviously.
Yeah, this is my job, actually. You know, I'm right now looking for my, you know, a sponsor, for Superman sponsor, and then trying to get all the sponsors I can. And I said, I'm going to back totally. I'm going to show the people that, you know, I'm going to be 100% on the show. And my old sponsors, you know, probably can check it out and, you know, give me again, you know, some opportunity. You know, that's what you're looking for. I'm looking for business, you know. I mean, I love this sport. It's my hobby. It's my passion. But in the same time, it's what I do for a living. And I'm going to do the best, for being in 110% condition on the show. And the show to the fans that, you know, I can do a lot more than I've been doing, you know, so far. So it's just, it's a comeback. And for me, it's a new beginning, you know. I'm the new guy. I'm, you know, this is going to be the new Gustavo. It's a new person. It's a better bodybuilder, better person, you know, better human being. So I'm going to try to enjoy, you know, every minute of that.
How are you a better human being, Gustavo? Talk to me about that, because that interests me more than the better bodybuilder. How are you a better human being in your mind?
Well, you know, when you're top on the sport and sometimes you think you're a superhero and you're Superman and you're better than everybody, sometimes happens. You know, you can't control that. Probably it's not the fans, probably the publicity, the show that you've been doing, all the show that you've been placed well. And sometimes you lost the track. You lost, you know, that your direction sometimes. You know, I mean, in my case, wasn't bad, but I said, you know, I'm a better human being because I respect all everybody more, and I respect more, you know, the bodybuilders, anybody who's competing, you know, even a professional level, amateur level, because it's a lot of sacrifice, and definitely is a lot of hard job, a lot of, you know, hard work to be there on stage. So it's just respect more everybody and trying to enjoy more life, every minute of it. You know, I mean, it's just not go there and just competing. It's enjoy the fans, enjoy the people, enjoy the people who follow you, your friends, you know, everybody want to be like you, and it's just, you know, I mean, enjoy life, bro. I mean, even being a bodybuilder, sometimes you're dieting for a long time, you feel like, you know, you're down or something, you gotta enjoy it, because I choose to be a bodybuilder again, so I want to try to enjoy more and trying to be more complete and trying to be more open for the people. They can, you know, reach me, they want to talk to me, and that's my plan, you know, trying to make more friends. I mean, I have a lot of friends, and I have a lot of fans, but I want to do more, because I know I can do a lot more that I've been doing so far. So, it's just, I feel different human being, I feel more, probably, you know, I'm maturing, you know, you're older, and then you say, okay, you know what, this is good, and I that's what I want to do. I just want to be on stage again with, you know, all those guys, and I want to show to the people that I, you know, everybody can do it. You know, it's not limits for nobody or anybody who can do or can be a bodybuilder after 35. And so no, I'm gonna show to everybody that this sport is for everybody, and nobody has limits. It's even people say, "Oh, Gustavo retired, or probably, you know, stop competing because he's done." And I want to show you people that, you know, you can do better, and you can come back even better. You know, the best condition. You show to the fans that, you know, they're being follow you until now. They're gonna feel proud of you. But, you know, the way you look and the way you work and the way you see, you know, the life from now on.
Well, you're a kinder, gentler Gustavo. Now, you made a good point, because I think that sometimes when people rise too fast, too quickly in the sport and become very popular, very fast and place well at shows, they can sometimes lose track of what's important, and they start to believe their own hype, so to speak. Is that what kind of got caught up in, you think?
Yeah, it's a little bit that too. Yeah, it happens, and it happens to everybody. It's not just bodybuilding, any other sport. And then, you know, most important is, and when you notice, and then you said, okay, I need to fix this. I need to be better. I need to grow. I need to give more. It's not always ask for yourself.
How did you take a step back and ground yourself? How did you become more aware of what was going on and be able to fix that? Because that's an important step that a lot of people don't ever get to. You obviously realized it at some point.
Well, after my last contest was the Miss Olympia, and I, like you said, I didn't place well. I mean, I was ready to, you know, I was expecting to place better, and I was a little bit upset about, you know, about that, and said, I never said to nothing. I never, you know, even said nothing to the judges or, you know, the federation. It's not nothing, had nothing to do with that. It's just myself. I said, well, you know, trying to, I said, you know, beat myself up. I said, you know, what happened? What was wrong? You know, you got to do better, whatever. And then say, okay, let me stop competing for a while, see what happens. And then you notice, you know, when you stop competing, it's not the same. It's just you mentally, you start feeling a little bit, you know, relaxed. It's just a lot of pressure you have. And sometimes it's your fault that you put a lot of pressure because you've been really, really good in the sport. And you think you're the superhero. You think you can't get sick. You think you can, I mean, nobody can beat you. And they say, no. This is wide open. You know, this is a contest. You know, when you go to a contest, you know, it's wide open. Everybody can beat everybody. I mean, it can be, you know, you you can be the first in this show. It can be, you know, first in another one, or even top, not even top 10 in another one.
You beat Ronnie Coleman. You actually beat Ronnie Coleman in that what do they call it? The pose down round, or they call it the challenge round. You beat Ronnie Coleman, and when he was at his best, you beat him. So you showed that everyone is vulnerable in a sense, and I guess that probably made you feel invincible. I know it would make me feel invincible. I mean, the crowd loved it. I mean, do you miss?
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's just, I mean, oh, it's a great feeling when that thing happens. But even that day, I mean, I never believe in myself, like, you know, I'm better than anybody else. I believe it just, you know, I can do it because I work hard. And I said to everybody the same thing. It's just, you know, and it's not beating everybody, beating, you know, Ronnie Coleman. You know, everybody, you know, can step on stage. Every professional at this time who can compete in the Arnold Classic next show is a number one. I mean, I can't understand why people always following the names because of the promotion and the magazine on the website. Or it's not about that. Bodybuilding is more than that. I'm old school bodybuilder. I work hard. I do my cardio. I do my diet. Sometimes I don't have that publicity that most of those guys they have.
Right.
But, you know, work hard, Dave. You know, when you step on stage, everybody noticed that, even the judges. I mean, that's what you're trying to bring. I mean, bring is just, I'm old school guy. And I want to show to the people that, you know, if you want to do it, if you really want it, so you can do it. So it's just, being number one is okay. But you respect the oldest guys. Respect the, if somebody can beat you one day, don't beat yourself so hard. It's just relax, enjoy, and see the whole picture and trying to do better and trying to fix your problems. And sometimes it's just, it's me, I'm the best. And it's not like that. It's just, you know, sometimes it's you lost that direction and it, that's most important right now. It's just, I'm a different guy. I'm just focused on what I want. I respect everybody else. I trying to bring the A game for the judges. I know what they want. I know what they're looking for, and trying to be there, you know, the 110% of Gustavo, the new Gustavo. But at the same time, believe me, you're going to see me like a new person, like a better human being, better person, and better pro bodybuilder. That's what I want to be.
Now, I saw you at the Mr. Olympia contest back in September, and you were not looking like you were going to be competing again. You were actually much more toned down, almost like, you know, kind of like what I did, not quite as small, but you were smaller than I've ever seen you. And I thought that you had just, you know, accepted the fact that you weren't going to compete. How difficult was it to come back? Because I imagine you've probably added a lot of size since I saw you at the Olympia. How much weight have you gained, and how difficult was it to put the size back on?
Whenever you saw me, I was like 225, 228. Definitely was, you know, my light weight. I'm never saying not to come back. It's just, I was chilling, you know, I was relaxing and, you know, and watching and enjoy life a little bit and establish some business. But when I start, you know, training again, and, you know, and instead doing it 3 meals a day like a normal guy, I would start doing it 5-6 meals a day. I was training, you know, twice a day. I was sleeping a little bit more, you know, nap time. And I was increased when my supplements and it wasn't easy at first because articulation always, but, you know, my body have a lot of, you know, good muscle maturity, and then my body respond really well. My receptor, I was fantastic, and everything that I'm doing right now, my body was responding. And then every week, my body be changing. Right now, I can say that, you know, I'm totally as mean right now again, and I'm 10 weeks out, and I feel so happy. It's a lot of, you know, hard work to do, but definitely, I know is right now I'm 250, almost 260 pounds, and but I'm doing cardiovascular twice a day. You know, I keep eating my meals. I keep eating, you know, my high protein, you know, diet, and eating, you know, taking supplement twice a day. You know, you coach. You know, there's a lot of things we can do. You know,
so you gain 30 pounds, you know, basically. You're 30 pounds bigger. That's incredible.
And it's discipline, you know, and constantly and perseverance, you know, every day. You say, I want to do it. And you know, the thing that motivating me more is the people can see me. And like, you know, when you saw me, I was 220, and people say, you know, you're never going to go back. You're too skinny. You're never going to be the same Gustavo. And they say, you know what? I love those guys. I love it because they when they say no, I say, oh, yeah. And everybody say, no, it's impossible. I say, okay, let's see what happens, you know. I don't want to argue with nobody about it. It's just I'm going to show. It's a bodybuilding. It's not about talking. It's about show on the stage, the day of the show. I say, okay, look at me, guys. I'm back. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to be competing against me. I don't care about nobody. It's just I respect everybody, but it's just about focus about myself. Being better. Back on stage, being, you know, make all my fans proud, my family, my team, myself, and that's all I want.
Were you worried that that you wouldn't get invited to the Arnold Classic because you haven't competed in such a long time? Was that a concern of yours?
Well, yeah, definitely. You have said I gotta respect that because definitely I mentioned to the FBI president and said, well, the promoters, you gotta choose the guys, but he chooses the guys based on, you know, what happened this year and the shows, you know, the best first, second, third place in each show. He said, okay, I understand. I mean, but I'd be competing 6 times in the class. If I had those times, right, I wasn't posed down. So, sure. I mean, I understand that I stopped competing 2 years, but I, you know, being promoter, I was promoted for the, you know, amateur shows. And when you bring a guy who can bring, you know, more fans and the fans buy more tickets, it's you know, it's perfect. You know, I mean, that's what I thought at the first. But I always, you know, expecting, you know, the answer. They never said to me yes right away. You know, right. Like anybody else, you know, and they choose, you know, the top 14 guys, and they choose me, and so I'm happy. I'm glad they choose me, and I want to prove it. I want to show to the promoter, the FBB, and everybody else that, you know, was a good decision.
Yeah,
that I want right now.
That's a great level of respect they showed you, because they must really you know, respect your physique and what you bring to the table. Are we going to see the Gustavo who bangs on the floor with excitement on the stage? Because I mean, that's what the fans really love. When you get so into it when you're up there that you become exuberant.
Well, it's like I said, he says I'm doing this because, you know, this is the way I do, you know, business, and that's, you know, the way I can, you know, put it food on my table, you know, for my kids. But at the same time, I have a big passion for the sport. And when I step on stage, Dave, believe me, I become like a bodybuilder, and I want to enjoy it. I want to enjoy it because we're like 16 weeks dieting hard, training hard, and then for me, it's even worse. I say, I'm coming back from nowhere right now, from 220, you know, you saw me.
Right.
And it's, I want to be excited, you know. And it's just, my point is, I'll be on stage and trying to make everybody proud.
Right.
Everybody who loves body, Gustavo, come back. Gustavo's good again. And then definitely I'm going to enjoy the show. You know, I know, probably when I be on stage 10 minutes, 20 minutes maximum, I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. I mean, in the comparison and being composing and all that, you know, the kind of anything they can do on stage, I'm going to be excited. I'm going to be happy. And I'm going to, you know, just show how I feel.
Well, you've beaten almost everyone in that lineup, especially the favorites out there, so that's got to make you feel good. You know that you've can beat these guys when you're at your best, so that's got to be motivating to you. Gustavo, have your kids seen you compete before since they've gotten a little older?
Well, my older one, yes. And I got, you know, yes. But, you know, the new ones, I got two babies, I mean, 2 years and four.
Yeah.
They never saw me competing. I mean, and I was...
You're doing it for them?
Very exciting, yeah. You know. I want to bring all my team, my family, just to watch the show.
So you're going
to
have
you know, it's like, you feel like, okay, my son's going to be there. It's better, you know, I got to look good, you know what I mean?
That's right.
And it's going to be good. It's going to be, I mean, it's going to be, I'm going to try to, when I'm gonna enjoy that, and I'm gonna try to, you know, being that moment for me is gonna be fantastic. I mean, it's just I'm working hard for it, but I'm really look forward to seeing you on stage and on Arnold Classic in the next March, Columbus.
Well, you got Dexter Jackson, who's still around, who you've beaten in the past. Branch Warren is coming back from a quadricep tear. So, you know, I have to believe he will not probably be at his best. That's got to really leave the door open for you. Are you what would you be happy with walking away from this show? I know you want to win, but what would you be accepting of or happy of with the placing?
I just wish, you know, I got a third call out. I want, you know, the judges give me the opportunity to show against anybody there. And you know, I mean, it's just trying to be my, you know, my A game on stage and being in pose down. You know, that may want to make me happy. Definitely want to fight. Like you said, we bodybuilders, we train hard to be number one. But, you know, being in pose down again is going to make me, you know, going to feel me really, really good that, like, you know, I did my job. And definitely is doable, and I want to try hard, and the 10 weeks, you know, that 10 weeks I'm going to try to keep, you know, working harder and just make sure that, you know, I'll be in pose down.
Now, is this
and trying to win the whole show, definitely. And I know Dex is a nice guy, but Dex knows me. I'm hungry, and now I'm hungry again, you know. It's like, okay, I want to do it again. I know Dex, I respect, and I know Branch is a great, great bodybuilder. Said, you know, it's any other show, you know, see what happens. You know, it's going to be interesting, you know, the way they look, the way I look, you know, we'll do comparisons, so you see what happens. The new kids on the block, you know, there's a lot of new kids that, you know, they really, really look good. So see what happens. It's going to be an interesting show. I think it's the past, the present, the future, all together is going to be great.
Now, will you continue to compete after this? Is this a one-time comeback? Are you back for good? You know, where you're going to do the Olympia, you want to do other shows? I mean, what's your mindset with regards to that?
Well, there's a lot of people asking me the same question. As I said, okay, I'm going to take, you know, one step at a time. I'm going to do Arnold, and then I'll decide. Definitely, yeah, there's a many options right now. Thank God the IFBB, they have, you know, for us almost 20 or more shows in the U.S., and it is fantastic, you know, it's huge. And, you know, definitely, you know, it's after the Arnold Classic, I'll decide what I'm going to do later, but you're going to see me again, definitely, because I'm back for good, that's good. For sure.
I'm glad to hear that. Final question. I know you promote a lot of shows. Talk to me a little bit about that, how you got into doing that and where that occurs.
Well, I was IMDb president in Puerto Rico, but you know what? Until this year and the next year, because it's gonna be it's really hard work. I mean, being a professional bodybuilder and being a promoter of the shows, it's not easy. And you know, it's sometimes people think the promoter makes a lot of money. It's not true. You know, sometimes they make some money. Sometimes just they make money just to pay the expenses.
Sure.
And sometimes. It's really hard feeling because right now people can see me like competitors. I try to be fair because I'm a bodybuilder. People look at me in a different way, you know. It's, oh, Gustavo, it's like, you know, I can't control the judges. It's when you're being promoted, you put in the judges, you know, you build a show, and that's it. But they look at you like, okay, Dave is control everything, if you know, he's, you know, and I'm trying to keep everything just fair for everybody. But people, sometimes the athletes look at you and different way, and then you say, okay, you know, I want to be friend of everybody. I don't want to just feel that kind of the frustration about it, because people thinking it's your fault if they got second, third. It's not the judge's fault. It's not the promoter's fault. It's, you know, our own fault. Mm. Being a bodybuilder, being an athlete, sometimes you're trying to find some guilty. Who's the guilty? And what happened? You know, sometimes it was my problem. And, you know, I don't have enough, you know, balls to say, okay, you know what? I make that mistake in my diet. I made a mistake in my prep. And, you know, I got to change something. And the formula is not good for me. And sometimes those, you know, the athletes, they can't see that, and they see you and say, okay, it's Gustavo's fault, and they say, I don't like this, I don't need this. I try to promote all the shows in the future, but I, you know, really not, right now I'm more focused about me, you know, coming back on, you know, on professional stage and see what happens.
Well, I think you made a very good point. I don't want to let this slip by. You are the chairman of the IFBB in Puerto Rico. You were
promoting all the shows there. And what you realized was that people were blaming you and they didn't do well. And you realized that, you know what, maybe I did the same thing to the IFBB officials when I competed. So you kind of got a different perspective. You got the officials or the promoters, the judging perspective, as opposed to the competitors' perspective. Is that right?
I emailed Jim Manuel and I said, Jimmy, I understand. I'm sorry. You see, sometimes in the past when I was competing, I feel, you know, that way. But I know I can see better. You guys, you're just trying to do your job, and sometimes it's our fault. And, you know, because we don't know enough. And so sometimes we don't have a coach. We have a coach for dieting and training and everything, all the prep. But you don't have a coach to say to yourself, Gustavo, you don't look good enough to be, you know, the top of the, you know? Right. Sometimes the coach, you're looking for the coach. When you got first, the coach is next to you. When you got fifth and you got ten, where's the coach? Oh no, I was busy. I was, you know, I got sick. You know, you don't know those guys.
You're right.
What happened? You know, right. And that's the problem, Dave. Dude, we don't have the people, you know, behind us to say, you know, honestly, hey, Gustavo, you're my brother. I love you, but you don't look good enough.
Right.
Tell me in the face. You know, you got to tell your clients, your athletes in the face, hey, guys, trying to be better, trying to fix this, trying to work harder. And, you know, we need to accept it, our problems. We need to accept our mistakes. Don't blame, you know, judges. Don't blame the gym manager. Don't blame the other guys. No, blame yourself that you don't work hard enough. Or probably you need to do more. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, blame the coach. Because the coach, they need to know. Because the coach probably be trying to help some athletes just to be the best conditional stage. If something goes wrong, coach, check it out. Talk to your athletes. You know, talk to them and say, you know what? It wasn't good today. We were, you know, it's not our day. Try trying to fix our problems and keep going, you know. And I understand now that. That's why I say I'm a better professional. I'm a better bodybuilder, and I respect more the IVB, the judges, the demand, and all, you know, all those people. They're trying to bring more shows for our you know, for the athletes, bring more shows for, you know, for the fans. And we need to try to enjoy it. That's it. Enjoy and say thank you, because, you know, their job, they're doing fine. So our job right now is to work harder, and if you want to be in, you know, in the best, you know, position, the best places on the shows.
A bigger, better, more insightful Gustavo Bedell. I really enjoyed this interview, Gustavo, and best of luck in the rest of your contest prep. And I'm rooting for you. I want to see you do well at that Arnold Classic.
Well, thank you, Dave, and thank you, you know, for giving me opportunity to talk to all my fans and all guys, all bodybuilders, fitness, you know, fans. I want to say to you, trying to go to the Arnold Classic, giving a little bit, you know, more support to our sport. It's a really nice sport, and definitely I'm going to make you proud, guys. I'm going to make you proud to be a bodybuilder and like this sport. Thank you, Dave, and, you know, God bless you all.
That was Gustavo the freaking Rican Bedell. Great guy. I think he's going to do real well at that upcoming Arnold Classic. It's always good to see some guys from the early part of the late 90s, early 2000s getting back on stage. He was one of the great ones. Third place at the Olympia 2 years in a row. Beat Ronnie Coleman in a controversial challenge round that they had instituted at the Olympia for a number of years. And they got rid of it after that, obviously, because it didn't work. But he's a character. If you've never seen Gustavo up on stage posing, he yells, he screams, he pounds on the floor. And that's what bodybuilding is all about. A lot of energy. Sounds like he's got some new insights into life. He's got four kids, and I'm looking to see him up on stage. He wanted me to mention also that he is looking for a supplement sponsor. So if anyone out there is looking to find some great new athletes or some great athletes from the past, I think Gustavo would be a great representative. He's passionate about what he does. He's knowledgeable. He lives in Las Vegas now as well. So that's a positive. As far as the year goes, we are done with 2011. I can't believe it's come and gone already. So much has happened this past year. So many shows, so many new stars on the horizon. You know, we gave out the RX Muscle Awards this year, and they were a little different than normally. But I think that hopefully everyone appreciates what we do for you guys, because
Without the fans and without you listeners out there, I couldn't do this. RX Muscle wouldn't exist. And I want to thank you and all our advertisers, because you're helping to make my dream possible, which is making the fans and the listeners' dream possible. And we will continue into 2012 to be bigger and better than we were the year before. And my goal is to never stop and rest on our laurels, but to constantly keep reinventing ourselves and be innovators in a sport where everyone seems to be imitators. And I'd like to thank Gustavo Fidel for popping by, Jeff the producer, Chris Aceto. Until next week, until next year, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Dave Palumbo, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.